Torah 101. Leviticus 17. We are in the parasha called Achrei Mot, which means after the death, the two sons of Aaron. Leviticus 17 in verse 10. When someone from the community of Israel or one of the foreigners living with you eats any kind of blood, I will set myself against that person who eats blood and cut him off from his people. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for yourselves. So the prohibition here of eating any kind of blood, a reason is given to us by Adonai himself, but also as a backdrop to this, we must understand that the drinking of blood was an ancient ritual of the idolatrous peoples of Egypt and also of Canaan. Eventually, this concept of not eating blood made its way into the ritual of slaughtering animals, that the Jewish people would slaughter the animals in such a way to where the blood would drain out of the artery, the main arteries, rather than an animal being strangled or being found dead with the blood remaining in it. Kosher meat is slaughtered in this way. It is interesting to me as you move into the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 15, where we see the Jerusalem Council coming together with a decision on the laws of the Torah that the Gentile believers, the non-Jewish believers, should begin to observe, I think, as a starting point. They listed four things in Acts 15:20. It says, we should write them a letter telling them, that is the Gentile believers, to abstain from things polluted by idols, so idolatry, from fornication, the sexual immorality outside of marriage, from what is strangled, as I mentioned, strangulation, form of slaughtering animals, kept the blood within it, and then it says, from what is strangled and from blood. They were to eat meat without the blood. So many people turn to this and want to use this passage as a means of explaining that we don't need to keep Torah law anymore when it comes to dietary law. When in fact, two of the four items for the Gentile believers relate to the diet. Kosher meat, not anything strangled and with the blood drained. That is the basis for what is kosher meat. So the eating of any kind of blood is prohibited here. And then God himself gives an explanation. He says, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for yourselves, for it is the blood that makes atonement because of the life. God says, I have given this to you. In other words, he didn't leave mankind without a solution, but he deemed it right, and it was his decision to say that a life or a soul should be given in exchange for your soul. Rashi explained that for the soul of the flesh, when we read the life of the flesh or the life of the creature, the word is soul, same word. But the soul of the creature, of every creature, is dependent upon the blood, and therefore I have given it to atone for the soul of man, Rashi clarifies. He says, in this way, one soul, namely the blood of a sacrifice, shall come and atone for another soul. The blood has the life in it. The people of Israel were being taught that it's a life or death situation. Our sins need to be dealt with harshly because they are what are separating us from God. Death of an innocent animal in place of our own spiritual death. Verse 12, this is why I told the people of Israel, none of you is to eat blood, nor is any foreigner living with you to eat blood. So it wasn't just the Israelites, it was anybody who had come into the people, into the tribes, any foreigner. When someone from the community of Israel or one of the foreigners living with you hunts and catches game, whether animal or bird, that may be eaten, he is to pour out its blood and cover it with earth. For the life of every creature, its blood is its life or its soul. Rashi said again, quote, its blood is in the place of its very soul, because the soul is dependent upon it. The blood is required for the soul to exist, or the life within a creature or a human. Therefore, I said to the people of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of any creature, because the life of every creature is its blood. Whoever eats it will be cut off. We drop down to chapter 18 and verse 1. And these will be laws concerning sexuality. Verse 1, chapter 18, Adonai said to Moshe, speak to the people of Israel. Tell them, I am Adonai your God, or I am the Lord your God. You are not to engage in the activities found in the land of Egypt, where you used to live. And you are not to engage in the activities found in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, nor are you to live by their laws. You are to obey my rulings and laws and live accordingly. You are to observe my laws and rulings. If a person does them, he will have life through them. I am Adonai. So these commandments, these rulings, God is saying that you must follow me, not the laws and not the regulations and not the traditions of the people within the host nations that you will be living, but you are to follow me. And as a result of what we just read, the Jewish people amazingly have kept themselves separate. That is why Jewish DNA is almost unpolluted. If you begin to study, as many genealogists are today, the Jewish people are pretty remarkable because their DNA has remained almost unchanged all the way back thousands of years, including my own. Why? Because my ancestors took this seriously, and they remained separate. They followed different codes and different laws, different regulations many times, from the people within the lands wherever we have gone. The plague in Europe is one example of how the Jews survived the Black Plague, by and large, but the ethnic Europeans in the towns and cities where the Jewish people were living also were dying from the plague, to the point that the ethnic Europeans began to blame the Jewish people for witchcraft as being the only reason, explainable reason, why the Jewish people are surviving the Black Plague, when in fact, it was just that the Jews kept different food sources and followed different dietary restrictions and separated their food supplies. And the disease didn't hit them to the same degree, as the disease was spread through vermin in the food supply and the water supply. Verse 6, none of you is to approach anyone who is a close relative in order to have sexual relations. I am Adonai. I'm just going to read through these and not explain too much, as they are self-explanatory. Close relatives. You are not to have sexual relations with your father, and you are not to have sexual relations with your mother. She is your mother. Do not have sexual relations with her. You are not to have sexual relations with your father's wife. That is your father's prerogative. That would be a case in which a stepmother is involved. Now keep in mind as we read through these that in Egypt, these various sexual practices were quite acceptable, and among the Canaanites as well, but not so among God's people. And from this, we're going to see that God was establishing the family as the primary foundation for the propagation of life, human life. The mother, the father, the children meeting other children from other parents, and having more children. It was keeping the family unit primary and the priority to keep it pure. Father, mother, children. Verse 9, you're not to have sexual relations with your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere. Do not have sexual relations with them. You're not to have sexual relations with your son's daughter or with your daughter's daughter. Do not have sexual relations with them, because their sexual disgrace will be your own. You're not to have sexual relations with your father's wife's daughter, born to your father, because she is your sister, a step sibling. Do not have sexual relations with her. You're not to have sexual relations with your father's sister, because she is your father's close relative. You're not to have sexual relations with your mother's sister, because she is your mother's close relative. You're not to disgrace your father's brother by having sexual relations with his wife, because she is your aunt. You're not to have sexual relations with your daughter-in-law, because she is your son's wife. Do not have sexual relations with her. You're not to have sexual relations with your brother's wife, because this is your brother's prerogative. Verse 17, you are not to have sexual relations with both a woman and her daughter, nor are you to have sexual relations with her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. They are close relatives of hers, and it would be shameful. You are not to take a woman to be a rival with her sister and have sexual relations with her while her sister is still alive. And what's interesting in verse 18 is this is exactly what Yaakov did, Jacob, from whom the name of Israel comes from. Now, unbeknownst to him, he had married Leah, but then he worked 7 more years to marry Rachel. this was before these laws within the Torah were communicated to the people. So it sort of existed beforehand. Verse 19, you are not to approach a woman in order to have sexual relations with her when she is unclean from her time of nidah, or during her menstrual period. You are not to go to bed with your neighbor's wife and thus become unclean with her. You are not to let any of your children be sacrificed to Molech, the ancient Canaanite god, thereby profaning the name of your God, I am Adonai. So it was customary for the worshippers, the ancient worshippers of Molech, to give their children as living sacrifices to this god of war, Molech, profaning the name of your God, I am Adonai. Killing of your children was something disallowed. The destruction of their lives, it's profaning, he says, the name of your God. Sounds like the days that we live in. Millions of babies are being murdered in the womb. I think it is linked to this idea, something that God considers profanity, profaning the name of your God. I am Adonai. This is Torah 101.